Welcome, everyone. This is All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 168. And Rafe is on his travels around the world on his day job. So we've got a stand-in. We have a newcomer to the All About Windows Phone Podcast and a newcomer from left field, if I may put it like that. Neil Gilroy. Hi there.
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And you've recently been testing the Lumia 640 XL and the 950 XL. But is it fair to say that your main expertise is really a sort of a Android and iOS and the other flagships from around the world?
Yes, I think that's fair to say. I've traditionally been an iPhone fan. In recent years, I guess I use Android probably a little more than iOS. But my two phones at the moment that I would use most of the time are an iPhone and an Android phone. And yes, I suppose that's sort of where I'm coming from. I have owned a Windows phone before, several, so I'm not a complete newcomer. But yeah, my first experience with Windows Mobile 10.
Yes, and we're going to obviously come to some, I guess, criticisms in some way, because you're approaching it from a constructively critical nature point of view, if I may put it that way. But I would emphasize you to just be slightly gentle, because you are coming from Android and iOS flagships. You have been trying the very best in the smartphone world, as of course I do for the phone show. So we're not looking at this from the point of view of, oh, look, here's a shiny new thing, I haven't played with anything like this before. You're coming from the Nexus 6P and the LG G4 and the iPhone 6S Plus. So there's a pretty high bar to maintain, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. And I think when I used the Lumia 640 XL, that was pretty apparent. And yeah, it probably wasn't a fair comparison. I think the 950 XL, it's sort of, if you look at the price and the spec, I feel like it potentially could compete with some of the Android phones at the high end. And I guess we'll come on to whether or not I think it does pretty soon.
Yeah, and then just on staying on price for a moment, because they have been coming down over the last few months, as I'm sure you've spotted. The 950 XL was, the initial RRP was £550, believe it or not, which is ridiculous. I think yes, it's now about 450, and I'm presuming you paid something like that or a bit less.
Yeah, I managed to get an Amazon warehouse deal, so it was technically used. So yes, I did pay less. I actually saw yesterday that the Currys or PC World eBay sites were doing sort of open box 950s and 950 XLs for even less. So I think the price is starting to move down for sure.
Do you think, leaving aside perhaps any individual criticisms or comments on the OS, do you think that sort of about £400, something in that region, makes it reasonable value, given that the phones, you know, the flagships we just mentioned, things like the top iPhones, the top Samsung Galaxies, the Nexus 6P, they're all £500, £600, even £700. So to have something at £400, do you think it sort of pitches in right in terms of value?
For the spec, yes. I think, however, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. So I feel like, yes, it's £400 if you compare it to the price of an iPhone or a top-end Samsung. £400 seems about right. But the LG G4 is available on pay-as-you-go for £225 in the UK. There are lots of Android mid-range phones that are more like £200 or £250. And my feeling with the 950 XL is that I don't feel it quite competes with the top end, and it maybe is competing more in that mid-range, and maybe 400 is a little expensive.
Yeah, well, the G4, I think, is now, what, about a year or so old?
And, for sure.
Yeah, and I suspect that a year-old 950 or 950 XL will be also down in the sort of mid-200s, at which point, I guess, they're much of a muchness, really, in terms of build and specifications. Even the process of the chipsets, they're not that far apart. So I would expect, yes, the 950 XL to be about the same price that the G4 is now.
For sure. And at the sort of £400 mark, I guess it competes sort of directly with the Nexus 6P. In fact, they're very similar spec and very similar price. And yeah, and yeah, I feel like the price, it's not outrageous. It's okay, that price. It's just the everything else. It's the ecosystem, and it's a difficult decision to make to spend £400 on a Windows mobile device, in my opinion.
I should mention that Neil and I were considering doing this podcast down the pub, in which case I was going to show you the Mozo replacement backs, which sort of leather backs and metal effect sides, which I think make the both the 950 and the 950 XL look more premium. But you've been trying the bog standard polycarbonate backs, so comments on build and design?
Yeah, you know, I must be one of the few people that I don't mind the design. I actually quite like it. You know, I have an iPhone 6S Plus. I have, as you said, a Nexus 6P, and I'm used to that kind of slippery metal and glass feeling. When I got the 640 XL and then the 950 XL, I'm actually quite enjoying the plastic build. It doesn't feel quite as premium, but it's not slippery. It's lighter, and mine doesn't creak, so maybe I'm lucky there, but I quite enjoy it. I think the hardware is fine. I don't have any real problems with the hardware, and even at that sort of £400 price, I think the hardware is fine.
Yeah, and of course the back coming off does give the opportunity for replacing the battery, and I did mention that because a little tip for people listening to this podcast, I noticed that the battery in the 950 in particular is exactly the same battery as in the Lumia 640, which I hadn't realised. And of course, you can get Lumia 640 batteries all over the internet at relatively reasonable prices. So, yeah, if you're somebody who likes just slotting in a new battery sort of halfway through a really heavy day out taking photographs on an event, then you'd grab a few spare 640/950 batteries at, what, sort of £10-15 each, and you're all good to go. The 950 XL, Neil, I think I can't spot another Microsoft or Nokia or similar device that shares the same battery, unfortunately, so I suspect that'll still be £30 a time. You mentioned the speaker in the show notes, and this is something dear to my heart, having a phone with at least a good enough speaker so that I can listen to podcasts and sat nav instructions when I'm driving along. I would class the 950 XL speaker as good enough, just about. It's a tiny bit tinny. It's not quite as loud as I'd want it to. It's certainly not as bad as some phone speakers, but I would say it probably stops a bit short of the best of the iPhone speakers. Would you agree?
Yes, I think so. I think the actual speaker itself isn't too bad. It gets pretty loud. It's not terrific quality, but the position on the back is probably the biggest downside for me. I'm quite used to phones having speakers on the sort of bottom edge where you would plug in the USB cable, and that I think is probably a better position. A few times I've put the 950 XL down on the sofa or on the bed and the sound gets muffled, but on the whole the speaker's not great, but yeah, I've heard worse.
I'd rather have the speakers from your Nexus 6P dual front facing. Yes. If I had the choice.
it's a big difference, but you know, I'm actually pretty happy with the way the iPhone sounds as well. I think a good mono speaker in the right place is adequate. Of course stereo is better, but yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect. The 950 XL, the speaker's okay.
And by way of transitioning to software gradually, we're going to go through battery life, which is very definitely software related. I mentioned replaceable battery. You shouldn't really have to replace it before the end of the day unless you're doing something outrageous, but both you and I have been having problems over the last few weeks on various different devices. I think both you and I both clocked the drain in standby, i.e. the Windows 10 mobile device 950 or 950 XL on the counter, doing absolutely nothing other than the usual email and social syncing in the background. Screen off, and we're still clocking it at 7-8% per hour drain, which is rather too high. I think with the latest update, Insider's Build 10586.71, which came out about 3 days ago, I think we're both finding around 4% an hour.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yes, much better. Still not where it needs to be, but it does seem to have improved it.
How does that compare to the best of the rest? I mean, I know I've got an older iPhone here. My wife's got a 5 and my daughter's got a 6, but none of us really with the iPhones tend to have any problem in terms of standby. If we don't use the iPhone, the battery really doesn't drain that fast. It's only when you start using GPS and camera and screen, obviously, then it goes down. But in standby life, the iPhones have been pretty good. My Android phones, again, it just very much depend on which manufacturer and which version of the OS. Certainly Android 6 or my Nexus 6, the battery, the standby life is astonishing. It can go, if you don't use it, it basically keeps its charge for a week. So where would you say in terms of percentage per hour, what's the target that Microsoft have to get to?
So it's a good question. Yeah, I kind of feel like if I'm not using a device, I really would like it to drain very little. And that's definitely where iOS has reached, where if you leave an iPhone on a desk and you don't touch it, you're looking at, I don't know, 1% an hour, if that. It's quite incredible. I think with Doze and Marshmallow, yeah, I think Android is catching up. But I don't think it's quite as good as iOS yet in terms of standby drain. But I could live with a couple of percent an hour with almost no use. And I think the 950 XL isn't too far away from that, and I do suspect it's software updates that will get it there.
Yeah, can I ask if you run it with Glance on all the time or just on peak?
All the time, yeah, all the time.
Same here, I do wonder actually whether it's worth me testing it with Glance off all the time, just in case, because Glance was already running at about 2 or 3% of the battery per day, which doesn't sound like an awful lot, but if that's not optimized, then maybe that has an effect or two. So, well, bit by bit, I'm gradually turning things off and trying to work out where the culprits lie, but maybe the culprit's right deep down in the OS, in which case it's nothing we can do.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how much it improved between .63 and .71. And with the whole sort of state of the operating system, I could easily believe that there are further optimizations and you could improve it by turning things off. But I kind of get the feeling that they have a bit of work to do.
Yeah. Would you agree with me that they should really just tag a beta tag onto the end of the OS name at this point? People are saying, but it's crazy, Steve. They've been selling these as retail devices in America since the end of November. But I'm sorry, if the software's beta, then the software's beta. And hey, Gmail was in beta for a decade, so why not?
Yeah, precisely. I mean, I think I've come into this pretty recently, so I've never really experienced the 950 XL on the firmware that it shipped with. So I jumped pretty much straight into .63. I kind of wonder what these phones were like back in November. And I guess you would know that better than me. I mean, presumably more bugs and more problems.
It wasn't that big a gulf, actually, between the 10586.29, which is still the retail devices are shipping with, even to this day, 6-week-old firmware and OS, compared to that, from that to .63, actually wasn't that big a change. To .71, right, where they explicitly put things about battery efficiency into the change log, and as we both found, it has made a difference. I think that probably was the big step change. They're very much trying to optimize Windows 10 Mobile so that they can start applying it over the air to all the older devices, and that's when most of the rest of the change log was actually explicitly talking about this will improve the experience of someone coming from an older device. So I think they're getting there. They're getting there in terms of a build that they can ship to older devices over the air, and a build where the battery life is just about acceptable on the newer devices. But I still think that beta tag applies, I have to say. And I still feel, I don't know, you're coming from the standpoint of the latest flagships on the other OSs. I still feel that despite having a Snapdragon 810, that 950 XL, I don't think they're using all the cores. I don't think they're using all the processors properly. I think there's lots of optimization that could be done for the chipset, and it's not really using that powerful chip and 3 gig of RAM as to best use yet.
I would tend to agree. The jump between the 640 XL, which is pretty modest hardware, sort of Snapdragon 400 and 1 gig of RAM, and the 950 XL, there is a difference for sure. I can feel it when I use it, but it isn't massive. And that definitely makes me wonder if, particularly around multitasking, I feel like a device with 3 gig of RAM should probably cope better between switching apps and not having them resume. So yeah, I suspect that they have a way to go. I also imagine that if they're focusing their efforts on getting an upgrade available for the older devices, that maybe it's just priorities and they are prioritizing getting performance for the lower spec devices, maybe.
Yeah, have you figured out, as a relative newcomer to maybe not a power user of Windows Phone and Windows 10 Mobile, that if you press and hold the back key to get the multitasking carousel, if you go into an app via that, as opposed to tapping on its application name or icon, they kind of go in two different ways for some applications. Does that ring a bell with you?
So I always use the back button because I'm quite familiar with the sort of multitasking user interface on Android. So yeah, I tend to use the back button, and only very rarely if I find occasionally an app has crashed or something and it's not in that list, do I go back to the home screen.
Because that was an annoyance of mine. But prior to about a month or so ago, the Windows 10 Mobile on the more capable devices like the 1520, the 930, and of course these new 950 range with 3 gig of RAM, it let you have 15 apps in that multitasking carousel, and it artificially got crippled down to 7 with a particular build of the OS. And I do wonder whether they can perhaps increase the number back up, because it takes a bit longer to scroll through, but on that large screen on the 950 XL, the multitasking carousel isn't just one application thumbnail high. You can see 4 at once, don't you? You could very, very quickly page through 3 or 4 pages of those.
I think so, yeah. I think I tend to agree. I feel like 7 doesn't seem like a very big number for this sort of hardware. And I think that there's definitely work around optimizing for this hardware for sure.
Yeah, on the 950, by the way, which has only got a slightly smaller screen, you do just get the single height thumbnail. So it's very much the 950 XL certainly is in a category of its own along with the 1520. And for those two devices, at least, they need to increase that number so that you can, as you can say, you can go back 13, 14, 15 applications and just resume it in theory instantly without .. flying across the screen. But
yes, which definitely happens sometimes, but not all the time.
I think it depends how the application was written, whether it's a Silverlight, whether it's native Windows Universal, etc., etc. There are so many different ways of building applications to run on these phones. It depends where it came from and who developed it and how they developed it and how they compiled it. As a programmer yourself, I'm sure you could probably appreciate the subtleties of that.
Yeah, I've written several Android apps and an iOS app. I've never actually tried to write a Windows phone or Windows mobile app. And yeah, I think this maybe sort of leads on to a broader topic, and that is around the sort of pressing reset, in effect, and the fact that Windows Phone and Windows Mobile have changed sort of at the core level several times, which probably does make it very hard for developers to keep up and to keep adapting their app for the latest core frameworks.
Yeah, well, we had Windows Phone 7 to Windows Phone 8, of course, was a complete reset in that there was a complete change of architecture, and I think that was forced. But since then, we've had, for example, Silverlight applications and now Universal applications and various other flavors along the way. But they're all basically compatible, and you can run most Windows Phone applications will run just as happily on the on a Windows Phone 8.1 device as on Windows 10 Mobile, and all the compatibility layers should just leap in and do their work. In practice, I think I'd rather have a full universal application, like, for example, Tweetium is, I think, a favourite of mine, a Twitter client, which it runs beautifully on full screen on Continuum, full screen on Windows 10 on my desk, on my laptop, and beautifully on the phone as well. And it's the exact same binary. So, yes, you could, all the old applications will still work on Windows 10, but I think we're gradually moving to a world where the first-class citizens will be the universal applications, led off, obviously, by things like Outlook and Office, and then things like Tweetium and so forth coming along behind.
Yes, agreed. And it's quite jarring when you open an app that was clearly designed for Windows Phone 8 or 8.1, I guess, because the sort of user interface, the aesthetics have changed. And I definitely notice it that quite a few of the apps have that sort of older style interface, which doesn't quite fit in. And I guess that's something that hopefully developers will spend the time to sort of revisit the user interfaces, which I think it needs, because some of the apps now look pretty old.
Yeah. Even some of the applications that are built into Windows 10 Mobile, written by Microsoft, still have the old interface. So it's clearly a work in progress. It's not just the stability, it's not just battery life. They literally have not got round to checking all the code yet and giving it an overhaul. But we're getting there at about a build every few weeks. And okay, that maybe that's not fast enough. But given that these things aren't exactly shipping by the million yet, I think they'll get there. And certainly by the time the 650 comes on stream, which is a sort of a metal premium looking budget device, somewhere around the £130-140 mark. And there's now rumours I saw today from all over the place that the 850 might also make an appearance, maybe at Mobile World Congress, which is very much a mid-ranger, sort of £250-ish, with a Snapdragon 600 series processor, and also Continuum compatible. So there are devices coming on stream, and of course rumours of a Surface phone later this year. Windows 10 is doing pretty well on the desktop and laptop, Neil, as I'm sure you're aware. I kind of estimated, but back of the envelope calculations, that there might be as many as 500 million Windows 10 computers in the world by the end of this year. By that I include Xbox, I include laptops, desktops, tablets, phones, even Internet of Things computers, but there'll be 500 million Windows 10 things out there, which is still an impressive number. It may not be as many as Androids, was it 2.5 billion, but it's certainly a big enough number for developers and to at least consider it.
Yeah, and I guess that's the hope, that developers will decide to write universal apps. I personally really have my doubts. I think it's a nice idea. I think the reality probably won't quite live up to that, but fingers crossed. I'm enjoying using Windows Mobile 10. I really do. I have some issues with it, but I am enjoying using it, and I hope that there is a good future for it. I have doubts and concerns, but fingers crossed.
Yeah, the problem, as I see it, is that on the desktop or laptop, most people do most things via the browser, if it's not a built-in application that comes with the OS itself. So, for example, just take Netflix as an example. On Windows 10 or on my Mac, I go to netflix.com in the browser, and that's how I watch my media. You don't necessarily download and install a Netflix application. And that applies to an awful lot of things I do on the desktop. If I look at my Mac or my Windows 10 laptops and look at the number of third-party apps I've installed on each of them, it's less than 10. Whereas on my phones, I typically install somewhere between 30 and 50. So there's a very different use case, a different way of working, I think. And that will be the biggest challenge. When people do 80% of the things they do on a desktop via a web browser like Chrome or Microsoft Edge or Safari or whatever, then where's the real incentive, the killer incentive to make applications?
Completely agree. I I'm the same. My phone, my tablet, I have lots of apps. On my desktop computer, I have some specific apps for productivity, but you're right. I tend to use the web browser for things that, in theory, somebody could write an app. But like you say, I wouldn't have much interest in downloading and installing it. I suspect the universal apps will give Windows Mobile a bump. There will be some additional apps created, but I don't think it's going to make an absolutely huge difference. And I feel like the people that use Windows Mobile 10 now need to expect for the sort of current app situation to continue. I don't see it changing personally.
Yeah, I've got to train you. It's Windows 10 Mobile, not Windows Mobile 10. But
okay, apologies. Windows 10 Mobile.
The other reason I wanted to bump into you at the pub is that I was going to hand over to loan you the display dock where you can plug in your 950 or XL and you know, plug it into an HDMI monitor and wireless or wired keyboard and mouse and basically run your monitor as your second screen. I wonder whether that will work with your iMac. Does your iMac have a spare HDMI port?
No, but I do have a second monitor that I could plug it into. So I sort of, have a second screen for the iMac. Continuum, it kind of seems like a great tech demo to me, more than something I would ever use. I have a laptop and a desktop, and I don't quite see where Continuum fit in for me. I kind of see it as a interesting concept. I don't particularly see anybody using it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've said before when I was talking to Rafe on air that the biggest showstopper for me was that it didn't remember its state. If it did remember state, so for example, you could have a sort of mini desktop of a, say, Tweetium, Twitter client, full screen, and your Outlook running email and maybe Microsoft Word and a couple of other applications, all sort of full screen Continuum, and it would remember that. So you could then go away on a trip somewhere and then the other end, you'd plug in your phone into a monitor and instantly up on screen would be all the tabs in the web browser and Outlook and Tweetium, and everything would just be there. And you wouldn't have to go setting up and starting apps again and finding them within the interface, which all takes time. I think that would make a big difference for me. At the moment, it's kind of a tech demo. If it was to remember a bit, be a bit more intelligent about how I was using it and present the same information, the same games, the same screens next time I plugged it in, then it would be almost like a opening and closing a laptop computer, which is effectively what you do at the moment.
Yeah, I can. That would definitely make it better. For me personally, I just simply don't have a use case for it. I sit in front of a computer for most of the day for my job, and I wouldn't need to plug my phone into a screen. I've heard you describe a use case where someone is traveling and maybe in a hotel room. That makes more sense. For the sort of work I do, I would always take a laptop. So I can sort of see it as something that a few people will use and enjoy. I don't really see it as a mainstream offering that people would use very often.
Yeah, it is kind of a tech demo. But then you could argue that Windows 10 Mobile itself is something of a tech demo. I was doing an editorial a couple of days ago where I was pointing out that it's kind of like Android with the Nexus line, or the initial idea of the Nexus line. This is how we can make a device to behave in a future-proof way, running the very best of our OS. This is how it should work. We don't necessarily need to sell 100 million of these things. It simply needs to exist to show people this is how it can be. And I think that's kind of where Microsoft has resolved, really, with the 950, 950 XL. They're not going to sell tens of millions of this. I'd be surprised if the two 950, 950 XL got much more than a couple of million in the first 3 months of this year. The entire device you've got in your hand now, Neil, I contend that it itself is a tech demo.
Yes, I tend to agree. I feel like it would be very unusual for somebody to walk into a shop and pick this over some of the other devices available at the price point. And I think it very much appeals to Windows 10 mobile fans and old Windows Phone fans.
Yeah.
I would think they've got a very difficult job ahead of them to continue to sell Windows 10 mobile to the average consumer who could afford an iPhone or a mid-range or high-end Android.
Yeah. Although as Windows 10 does start to become more accepted on the laptops and desktops, I mean, it's only up at 10%, I think, at the moment in terms of a desktop market share. But as that number increases, then maybe there will be a bit more awareness. You mentioned upgrade selling to Windows Phone fans and particularly fans of the Nokia hardware with the great cameras. And what's your thoughts on the 950 XL camera so far? I consider that the 950, 950 XL is kind of the last of the great sort of Nokia designs. They feel like an evolution of the previous Nokia camera phones. And I suspect the next one will be Surface branded and be subtly different again. But what's your view on the 950 XL in terms of imaging and media?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the camera. Yeah, it's my first experience of rich capture, and I think that works really well. I'm impressed. Yeah, I have no problems with the camera at all. It seems good. I know people have said after you take a photo, it takes a few seconds to process the rich capture. I haven't found that to be a huge problem, but it's probably just my workflow that I don't very often review a photo after I take it, or at least not instantly. Overall, very, very happy with the camera.
Yeah. I would say that it's higher quality in terms of raw imaging than, for example, even the best of the iPhone, even the best of the Samsung Galaxies, even better than the G4. But against that, the fact that almost no one's going to be using this because of these small sales numbers of the devices, it's kind of a well-kept secret at the moment. I know I did my editorial doing a head-to-head, but let's face it, very few people out in the real world will be enjoying this. And also, there's the fact that all of this is really way over the top for what 99.9% of the people in the population actually want to use a camera phone for.
For sure, yes. I mean, if I look at the typical use case for most of my sort of family and extended family, we share photos on WhatsApp. That's pretty much the extent. And as long as it looks good on a small screen, most people are happy. And I really do enjoy using the 950 XL camera. It's definitely one of the highlights.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying using a phone that each update is important. It's kind of something I've missed recently on Android and iOS that, yeah, there's a minor point update and I don't notice any difference at all, really. I know they fix bugs in the background, but it's on a mature operating system. I feel like the sort of minor updates, they don't matter too much. Whereas when .71 was released yesterday, it was genuinely quite exciting to install it and see what differences it made. Now, obviously, that I suppose you can look at that in several ways, and I think it really does point to the immaturity of Windows 10 Mobile, that it feels like an OS that's crying out for updates, whereas iOS 9 and Android Marshmallow don't need as many updates. So there's two ways to sort of view it, but I'm quite enjoying this sort of phase where every update is exciting.
Well, welcome to my world. I've been living on the bleeding edge of Symbian and Windows Phone, and as a minority operating system, all desperately in need of updates the last decade.
Wow. it's not a very large club, I guess, but it's fun to be in nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, of course, Symbian was perceived as the huge club at the time. It was by far 70% smartphone market share. But then back then in 2007, 2008, the smartphone world itself was about 1/100th the current size. And that's the big difference. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Fascinating stats. So what's the future for you, Neil? Did you want to borrow this display dock?
I might. I genuinely would only use it once, I think, just to confirm that it worked. It's it's vaguely interesting, but I know I wouldn't use it. So yeah, possibly it'd be nice to meet up and say hi anyway. But Continuum never enters my mind. When I was sort of last week thinking, oh, it'd be fun to try a Windows 10 mobile device, Continuum was never part of my decision making. It was really just that iOS and Android, I feel, are so mature and so well known to me. I use them every day, that I wanted to try something new. And I'm certainly pleased I have. I couldn't possibly recommend the 640 XL or the 950 XL to pretty much anyone, but for geeks, I think there's definitely fun to be had.
Yeah, I think we should put that quote from you on the tagline for the posters for the desktop display dock. Vaguely interesting, says Neil Goldway.
Vaguely interesting. Only once, though.
Yeah. Are you going to hang on to the 950 XL, or will it go back at some point?
I suspect I will hang on to it for another week or two, maybe longer. I'm sort of aware that the price is dropping, so if I do want to shift it on, I should probably get rid of it pretty soon. But I am genuinely enjoying it. I couldn't use it as my main device. There's too many apps I rely on day to day that are not on there, or if they are, they're vastly inferior to the iOS and Android counterparts. But as a second device, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I think enjoying it really sort of parallels what Satya Nadella said back about 6 months ago, when he said, we're going to make some new Lumias for the fans. Those were his exact words. And that's kind of what these devices are. You have to be a fan, an enthusiast about the OS and the hardware and the vision in order to enjoy it. But given that you've invested it and you people out there are enjoying it, then why not? They just be aware that it's a slightly different world to that of Android and iOS. But then again, you could argue that Android and iOS don't have quite the same one operating system for all form factors vision, and whether that vision's relevant is another matter for another podcast, but at least they're different. As you say, it's different, it's interesting, and I'm glad it's entertaining you for a few weeks, Neil.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yes, and I completely agree. I think that the core idea of sharing technologies between the desktop and the phone is interesting. I think in the world we live in today, where it's all about apps and services primarily, I think that's most people's interaction with their phone. That vision is probably slightly less important, but like you say, it's the only operating system that scales. iOS is different to OS X, and Android doesn't have a desktop. So yeah, it's certainly interesting.
Yeah, well, thank you ever so much for coming on short notice onto the AAWP podcast, Neil.
Thank you very much for having me on, and hopefully I wasn't too negative about Windows 10 Mobile.
No, indeed. Where can people find you online, Neil?
Yeah, I think Twitter is the best, so at Gilroy Neil. I do frequent the Google Plus phone show chat community as well, but Twitter's probably the best place to find me.
Lovely. All the best for the future, Neil. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.